This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, boo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I am so excited to be back in the studio today with a returning guest of mine. She is a real housewife of Miami and a doctor, of course. It's Dr. Nicole Martin. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I can't think of a better way to start off my day.
It's bright and early. It's like the coldest day of the year in New York City. You're in town. You've got some things to do this week. I'm so glad that we are getting to catch up. It's been an interesting season so far. I know we've got some more interesting episodes to come. We were just chit-chatting a little bit about the Mexico trip before we started recording. Nicole, how are you kind of, how has this season been for you from like a bird's eye view, just like overall?
You know, there's just been so much happening this season. Everybody was like, oh my God, the Mamacita massacre was so intense. And I'm like, oh, if you thought that was bad, wait till you guys get to Mexico. Because it's just, I can't even begin to express to you the amount of drama and the shift in dynamics. I mean, you're going to see OG on OG drama, OG versus newbie, which, you know, we're all used to that. But things really switch up this year.
The Mamacita massacre. The Mamacita massacre. That is like such a, it's going to be in history textbooks. I was talking to Lisa when she was here last week, and I was trying to get a handle on, was there one moment of that event where everybody was there at the same time and seated at the table? Because I don't know that it ever happened.
I mean, if it happened, it lasted a couple seconds because there was a constant like revolving door of people walking out.
Right.
If like, Anna was there, then Marisol and Alexia weren't there. If Marisol and Alexia were there, Anna wasn't there. Then Kiki left. Then Gertie decided to leave. At one point, I think we were always missing someone.
Well, and Marisol and Alexia came back and then left again. Like, it was very...
I couldn't even keep track.
So, okay.
Honestly, if I could have left, I would have left. I was like, if I wasn't hosting this event, I don't want to be here either.
So... talk to me about that event. Like, what was your vision for the day? Because obviously you knew that Anna was going to be there. You know, you had put the whole thing together. Like, what was your kind of expectation versus obviously the reality that happened?
So the idea behind the Mamacita's luncheon was, you know, we fight all the time. But one of the things that really brings us together, I think, is our role as mothers or, you know, how important motherhood is. You know, Marisol herself is not a mom, but she had a really special bond with her mom. And now she's a stepmom to Stevie's boys. So it's kind of like the one uniting thing that brings us all together. And Lisa's had a rough run with her divorce and whatnot. So I thought it would be a fun way to celebrate the group. And so when Adriana called me and told me she wanted to bring Anna, I was like, all right, whatever. Everyone's bringing a guest. If you want to bring her, what's the big deal? I knew that 10 years ago there was like a falling out in the group at reunion. But what reunion doesn't have a falling out? We all still come back together the next season and we manage to like break bread and it's not a big deal. So I honestly didn't give it any thought. I didn't think that the extent of their drama was such that it lasted a decade and we weren't going to be able to like sit together.
So you're not like watching Anna on a podcast with her daughter saying that Marisol looks like a corpse.
I found out about the corpse comment at the Mamacita's luncheon. I mean, how many different Bravo podcasts are there? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's impossible to keep up with everything that's said on every single podcast.
I don't know what is said on my own podcast half the time.
Thank you.
Somebody will be like, when you were talking about this, I'm like, no clue.
So I had no idea the extent of the drama. And I actually had heard that they had been in communication over the 10-year gap. So Alexia had spoken to Anna. Marisol had spoken to Anna. They even had collaborated on a fundraiser at some point during the gap. So if you guys can talk, you can collaborate. Anna wants to come. Adriana wants to bring her. Like, I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
Yeah, I think it felt like maybe it's like, okay, like you said, you knew that there were issues at some point in the past, but the way that Alexia and Marisol jumped to the conclusion so quickly that there was some sort of conspiracy going on, it did feel a little bit like, I guess it could be true, but
the reaction was just so extra and yeah. so unexpected. I really never imagined that that was going to be the way that luncheon went down. You know, I put in a lot of effort, planned a lot of cute little details, and I would not have gone through that amount of effort to like make it a shit show.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense.
Do you feel like watching the episode back and seeing when Adriana was talking about to Julia about like Anna having some questions about Alexia and Todd's finances, did you feel like maybe Adriana kind of set you up a little bit?
Totally. You know, obviously I didn't know what was happening behind,
right.
you know, behind the camera. I had no idea that Adriana was plotting this. Had no idea Julia knew. Like, Julia could have thrown me a bone and been like, hey, I heard Anna's, you know, Adriana's bringing Anna. She doesn't have the best intentions. You might want to revise this. But Adriana didn't tell me anything. Julia didn't say anything. So right. It was like, I felt like I was kind of the only person that was left in the dark. And then I got all the shit for it.
Right. And then maybe Julia, like in last week's episode at Marisol's boozy whatever gifting thing.
The brunch I wasn't invited to.
You weren't invited to. It felt like Julia finally was like, hey, Adriana, like maybe we should tell the truth. But like it was maybe a little too late there.
Also, I'm wondering, like, I love Julia. She's a good friend of mine. But why didn't she catch any heat? You know, she's now Alexia's new best friend.
Yeah.
She knew Anna was coming with bad intentions. She knew what Adriana was up to. She didn't give Alexia a heads up.
Mm.
Like, why aren't we mad at her? She actually knew what was going on. Instead, they're mad at the one person who had no idea what was happening.
It's been really interesting watching Julia. I feel like this season, more than in the past, she's kind of trying to break away from just being like besties with Adriana and then kind of having these like secondary relationships with everyone else. And so watching her kind of work on this friendship with Alexia, be closer with other people in the group, it's tricky. I think Adriana doesn't always make it easy.
I definitely think there's some feelings involved. You know, I think Adriana feels like Julia should be loyal to her. But, you know, I think Julia had a really tough year yesterday. I think she faced a lot of challenges with Martina's health. And she kind of has a new lease on life. And she's like, you know what? You get one shot at this. I want to be friends with everybody. I want to try new things. And, you know, I can respect her for that. But I don't think Adriana's enjoying that very much.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because you used the term newbie even today, but at this point, it's like...
No, there's no newbies.
There's no newbies on... I mean, every time I talk to somebody from your cast, I think it's super interesting how you came back 3 years ago and nobody kind of knew like what the vibe was going to be. And then you've had this same cast for 3 years and the dynamics are always shifting. There's so much... There's always a lot of material to work with. So it does feel like... The playing field, at least from a viewer standpoint, is very even at this point. That there's nobody that's just kind of like getting their toes wet on Housewives. And I think it's interesting the way that that maybe is felt differently by different people in the group.
I could see as an outsider where everybody would be like, okay, we're 3 years in. Everyone's on the same field. However, when you're in it, there still feels like a big double standard. Like the OGs definitely think... and act a certain way. And it's like, for example, Alexia's like, you should be loyal to us. And I'm like, when have you ever been loyal to me? Like you expect and demand loyalty from me. Like I'm supposed to know everything about your life. I'm supposed to respect you and, you know, honor you. But you've never done the same for me. There's definitely a double standard within the group. Mm. And I think most of the newer castmates would agree.
Yeah, it was interesting. I don't know if you watched any of the Ultimate Girls Trip season that just came out with the Roni like legacy, but there was a conversation on the show about like knowing about things that happened on the show when you weren't there. And that was kind of portrayed almost in a negative light where it's like, oh, you're like a fan. You're like researching, like, you know, getting evidence on us. And so it's interesting, like in your case, it almost sounds like
not knowing.
Alexia wants to penalize you for not knowing something that happened 10 years ago. And it's like, sorry, I didn't take notes on season one.
I mean, I would love to watch all of the franchises and every episode of Watch What Happens Live and listen to all the podcasts, but I just don't have like that time is a luxury that I don't have. So I don't know a lot of things about other franchises. I don't know a lot of things that happened years ago, and I don't know things that are said on podcasts. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think though there is something really unique about the group that you guys have now, the way that you've been able to have this consistency, and because there are nine of you that are around all the time, it doesn't get tired of just like, oh, the same five people going to the same lunch together. Like there's,
I don't know, I'm kind of tired. I would like a new face in the group.
I think that's super interesting because it does feel like everybody on your show more or less is kind of pulling their weight and like really getting involved. So it makes it tough to think like,
Who wouldn't be here next year?
Right, because you're not going to have more people on the cast, realistically. So
agreed. Gertie and I were actually having this conversation the other day, and I was like, you know, I think everyone brings something unique to the show. Everyone, to your point, has been pulling their weight. I think the friends of on our show do a lot, if not just as much or more than the full-time housewives. I think the definition of that is very arbitrary, at least in our group. But it would be nice to kind of have a shift in dynamics a little bit, like someone new to kind of spice things up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be mad at it.
Yeah. I feel like the three seasons have been so strong, but that maybe like that's something to move toward. It's like some, you know, bringing a fresh energy. And honestly, it's like I feel like even shows that are working, you can kind of add a new element and see what happens. I feel like we've all had that moment where you're at somebody's wedding and you're looking around the food, the venue, the music, the overall vibe, and you're making like that mental checklist of if I were planning a wedding right now, maybe you are, maybe you aren't, what would I want to copy from this? What would I want to change? What would I want to tweak? Well, I've been a part of my fair share of weddings over the years, and I know just how stressful the process can be. You go from that newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. But using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish and makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake, Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and even maybe enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preference. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I Do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they're the only shapewear that won't ever roll down no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling superpower short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. The superpower short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Speaking of adding a new element, you are, of course, expecting another child. Very 12 excited. More congratulations. Weeks
to go. Thank you.
So you obviously, the whole time you've been on the show, you've had Grayson, and he's, you know, been on the show a little bit here and there. I'm curious how you feel, or maybe are you thinking differently about having a baby and then coming back to potentially do another season of the show with a newborn? Like, how are you kind of mentally navigating that?
So Grayson's been a great sport. I don't think he fully understood what was happening in terms of, you know, filming a TV show until this past season. Mm. I think this season was the first time that he was really aware of, you know, the audio guys and the camera people. And it was a little tricky to kind of get him to film and focus. And he would constantly run off scene. And it was definitely more challenging how I'm going to do it with two little people running around and still like hit beats and manage to like get things done. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I can't be the first housewife that has a baby on the show, right? People have had babies.
You will not be the first housewife. You see? We've had some cameras like in the delivery room. I don't know if that's what you're trying to do, but.
So I am a scheduled C-section. Okay. I don't think you guys will be allowed in the operating room.
maybe like in post-COVID era, maybe that's not going to be a thing.
Yeah. I mean, no delivery room action, I don't think.
No, it is interesting though, because your cast, like you're all at kind of different points in your, you know, journey of being moms and stuff. Like seeing Gertie's kids this season kind of rallying around her has been just like, I mean, I'm like a puddle watching the episodes. Even seeing like Lisa's kids start to, you know, that scene where he's like
that scene at the
Logan
bank.
Starting a bank account. God. Like it's crazy.
Logan for president.
Watching the show, it's like remembering years ago when Lisa was trying to have kids and struggling with that. And then now seeing that she has these like two beautiful children. It's cool to see like kind of the different phases. Obviously, like Alexia's kids are grown and, you know, Adriana's son is older. Like there really is kind of that whole spectrum of family. And it's a cool thing about the show.
It is. It's cool to see like where we start and where we've come over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exciting. It's like even for me, it's nice to watch back like my first season and see how small Grayson was, you know. Yeah. And now he's big. He's going to be 5 in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Like 3 years is a long time when you have a little kid.
Yeah.
Like,
they evolve on a weekly basis. So to see 3 years is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's cool. I've talked to other people about how doing the show with your kids, it kind of gives you this like very highly produced scrapbook almost of
totally.
Highly produced in terms of quality, not in terms of like it not being
correct.
Real.
Yeah. It's you know, not everybody has these videos and this footage to look back and be like, wow, this was him,
mm-hmm.
you know, 3 years ago. And so it is a beautiful kind of memory that's like immortalized kind of for you that not everybody has the opportunity to see.
Yeah. And I know obviously you lost your father recently, and I hope you're doing okay with that. It was tough to hear that news.
It was obviously very unexpected. I was actually out of town when it happened, which made it a little harder to kind of process. It was right after BravoCon.
Yeah.
And I was in Vegas when he ended up in the hospital, so I never actually got to see him one more time awake. By the time I got back, he was still alive, but he was in a coma. So that was a little tricky, but I feel like we had so many big moments.
Yeah.
Thanks to the show, you know, we went to therapy together. I think we addressed a lot of our past issues, and I feel like we were in a really good place.
Mm.
I finally met his girlfriend, which you guys will get to see later on.
I was glad to see that he was on the show a little bit this season. Yeah.
And, you know, I actually invite him to the finale party so that we could like spend some time together. So I think we were in a much better place. And so I'm really thankful that we got to make that peace before he passed. Mm. You know, we kind of addressed all of the, you know, the issues we had. But it was hard.
Yeah.
It wasn't expected.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry about that. I'm glad that you were able to kind of be in a better place, because I know it's been, you know, it's a bumpy road.
Yeah. So definitely, you know, we had closure. We got to tell him that we were expecting our second baby. So he knew that we were having a little girl. So, you know, I think we were in as good of a place as we've been ever.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I think your cast over the last few seasons, especially, so many of you have gone through these kind of major life upheavals, moments, losses, things like that. Like seeing everything that Gertie's going through this season and just being like so strong and, you know, beautiful and tough during all of this. And, you know, everything that Lisa's had going on in her life the last couple of years. We've seen other people losing parents and marriages and all of that stuff. It feels like Miami is, as much as you guys can have your fights and your disagreements, like it really is a place where people can kind of find that strength.
Absolutely. You know, we fight hard. Lord knows you guys have seen it. But we love hard. And I am always surprised at how this group of women rallies together when we need it. You know, I think fans got to see a little bit of it when Lisa found out that Lenny was leaving her last year.
Yeah.
You know, when Alexia's mom passed away. And I cannot say enough about how supportive the women were when my dad passed away. Mm. Even like, you know, Alexia and Marisol, who I haven't always been the closest to, they reached out numerous times to just check in. Do you need anything? Larsa, you know, every single person on the cast went above and beyond to make sure that I was okay, asked if I needed anything. Gertie was calling my mom, like offering to bring meals. Like really, it was very special the way all the women reacted.
Mm-hmm. Your friendship with Gertie, I think, has been kind of like a light in the last, since you've been on the show, but this season especially, I feel like it feels like you guys have really built this like really solid bond. And I thought on last week's episode, hearing you talk about kind of how as a medical professional, you can be sort of desensitized to like, you know, the facts of what somebody is going through, but that with Gertie's cancer diagnosis and everything, like you really have watched a close friend go through that, and it's different.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even though I'm an anesthesiologist and I don't necessarily break the news that someone has cancer to patients, you know, during medical training, you go through every subspecialty. So you're exposed to everything, and you see a patient come in for what they think is like a pretty simple breast surgery, and then you get the pathology report intra-op, and things are drastically different for this person as soon as they wake up. So you're used to this. And you learn to kind of distance yourself from it. But when you see a very good friend going through it, it's very different. And like I cried when I see the scenes with Gertie and Russell and her kids, like her telling her kids, like, how do you not, you know, because you can't help but put yourself in her shoes and how scared she must be, how worried she is as a mom and as a wife and as a woman, you know, like you can just imagine the whirlwind of thoughts and emotions that she's going through. And it's hard. It's hard to see your friend go through that. But
yeah,
she did an amazing job. Let me tell you, she handled this battle with so much grace and strength. I'm very proud of her.
Mm. Yeah, it's been great to watch her. I mean, obviously on the show right now, she's still very much in the thick of it, but seeing in real time, you know, ringing the radiation bell, and she was here like before the holidays. Like it's great to see her like doing so well.
Yes, she's definitely a phoenix that's rising from the ashes. She's getting back to, you know, her business and working, and she doesn't stop.
So you were obviously one of the first people in the cast to know about what she was dealing with, but then it became this whole situation. What was it like for you kind of as like a third party watching your friend's news be sort of mishandled in that way?
So, you know, I don't think Larsa did it with malice, right? Like, I don't think she was trying to be a bad person by going and telling the group. I really think she was kind of just like shocked by the news and was like, what do I do with this information? And she really just didn't know how to process or handle it. But at the end of the day, like, it's not your place to say something like that, right? Like, I just feel like people's health has to just be handled with so much like respect and almost like kids' gloves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of feel the same way about Anne-Marie and Sutton's esophagus gate, you know?
Like, you and Tiffany Moon both chimed in on the esophagus situation, because it felt kind of off watching it, even if I don't know anything about the anatomy side of things.
And that was the whole point, right? Like, I just think as a professional or as a friend, like, it is not your place to kind of judge or comment or talk about someone's health issues. I just think your health is your health. And if you want to talk about it, that's fine. But I don't think it's anyone else's business to discuss that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, Larsa and Anne-Marie could have, we're both ill-advised.
I remember you were here probably about a year ago, and things were not great with Larsa at that point. I know, obviously, last season was tough for you guys in your one-on-one relationship. How do you feel like that has changed or not changed? Like, where do you sort of see yourself with Larsa now?
So I think we had a really rough run last year, and reunion in New York was just terrible for us. We were at each other's throats. But we had a really good conversation after New York, and this season was pretty smooth for us. Like I said, I don't think when Larsa does things, she necessarily does them with malice, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I just think sometimes she just doesn't give things thought. And she's just like, oh, my God, I just heard. And she wasn't doing it to be a gossip. I just think she was shocked by the news and was kind of, yeah, like, overwhelmed by it and wanted to share it. But I think she would be better served by owning it and just apologizing instead of kind of trying to,
yeah,
double down and explain things, because then it just feels like you're not sorry.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I totally understand, even just in everyday life, I understand, like, the instinct to sort of get defensive and, like, tell people why you felt like you were right. But sometimes it's like, yeah, I just wasn't right.
Right. And so I think, like, if she would have been able to just be like, you know what, I thought about it, I get why you're pissed, mm-hmm, I shouldn't have done it, let's move on, we would have moved on. Yeah. But it's the, this is why I did it, and the trying to explain it, yeah, and whatever, it just makes things worse.
Yeah. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three-beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin Orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart, or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. I don't know if you probably haven't watched it because you're obviously very busy, but Larsa is on The Traitors right now.
I know she's on the show. I have not seen a single episode.
Only a few episodes have come out, okay, but she's doing well so far. But I
don't even know the premise of the show.
Would you ever want to do like a competition show? Does that sound fun to you? Or are you like?
Okay, I'm throwing this out there because I want to manifest it. Yeah. I totally think there should be like a Top Chef Housewife edition.
Okay.
Like a cooking competition where you put us all in a house and we have to like live together and then cook and compete. I want to do that.
You want to cook?
Oh my God, I totally want to cook.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm putting it out there. That's the only competition I want to do.
Do you like cooking a lot?
Oh
like,
my God,
at
I
home?
Love to cook.
Do you make like Cuban food or like what's your?
I'll do it. I do cook some Cuban food, but I'll do anything.
Okay.
I make pasta. During COVID, I was sous-vide-ing everything.
Yeah.
I hosted Christmas dinner. I did a full prime rib, like rubbed it, seasoned it, cooked it. I love being in the kitchen.
I feel like that's something like the Peacock team could like get into maybe.
Putting it out there, guys. Call me. Let me know. Or I would do like, I used to be a cheerleader. So I would do like a Dancing with the Stars or something fun like that.
Okay.
Like dancing or cooking.
So Ariana Maddox was here like the day after Dancing with the Stars ended. Her like foot was broken. She was like so tired. I'm like,
it's really hard.
It's hard work.
It's hard work, but she's in great shape right now. She looks amazing. She's killing it. Good for her.
Dancing with the Stars would be fun.
Yeah.
That's like bucket listy, I feel like.
I don't really know the premise of Traitors. It's like lying.
Yeah, you're like in a castle in Scotland and you have to like vote people out. Basically, it's
like strategy game.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
you're like, I will cook.
Yeah, thanks.
That is so fun, though. This season has been really fun. I know we still have this Mexico trip coming up.
You're not ready.
We're not ready.
You guys are not ready.
You have also reunion. You're very soon sitting down to do reunion. How are you feeling this year compared to your last couple reunions?
So it's like your first reunion, you don't even know what to expect, right? You're just like, okay. And then your second reunion, you know what to expect, right? So I was so anxious for the second reunion. I did not sleep for like a week just trying to, how am I going to say this? And when they ask me this, I need to remember this. And it's also a lot of strategy and a lot of, you know, remembering your points that you want to make. I think overall this season, other than the Mamacita massacre and this massive misunderstanding, which I need Adriana to own, I was pretty good with most of the ladies. So mm-hmm. I feel good going into it. Obviously, there's a lot to uncover with like the Gertie and Larsa of it all. The Mexico is going to be a lot. So there's going to be a lot of commentary, but I don't necessarily feel like I'm in the thick of it.
Yeah. So you did on last week's episode, you did sort of give like a mini ultimatum, I would say, where you said that you are tired of being treated like a second class citizen.
Still am.
And like a villain. And that you don't want to go to any more group events until you get an apology. So is that, obviously I don't want you to like tell us what happens for the rest of the season, but you said still am. So I'm thinking that maybe that's a work in progress.
It's definitely a work in progress. And here's the thing, right? Like, I think housewives all the time are like, I'm never talking to her again. I'm not going to film with her again. But the reality is that we're a group of women, right? And Julia is a good friend of mine. And I don't think many people know about this, but Kiki and I are very close. Yeah. And we talk a lot off camera, even though we don't necessarily get to film a lot together, if that makes sense. And they were both going to be performing at Swim Week. They were going to be walking the runway. And I felt like I would be punishing them if I didn't go to this event, right? Because I wouldn't be showing support to them. And I didn't want to let my issues with Marisol and Alexia trump their hard work. Yeah. So I end up going to Swim Week more to show my support for these women.
Yeah.
And also to put Adriana on the spot to clear the air.
Okay. You went in with you go with a purpose.
I go with a purpose. I'm not just like throwing in the towel because sometimes I do watch this and I'm like, oh, I look like such a punk. Like, yeah, I feel like I always let these ladies off with like, you know, with such ease. Like I never and they've been putting me through the ringer for 3 years, and then Marisol apologizes and I'm like, oh, we're good. Don't worry about it. And she's just like, you don't have to let me off the hook so easy. But that's just, I mean, what am I going to do? Like, beat you with a stick?
There was a moment in the episode where I think Alexia was telling somebody that, like, oh, back in the day when Marisol blah, 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 and she wasn't so nice then. It's like,
girl, she's still not nice. I do end up filming. I don't get an apology.
Okay. Maybe that's on the reunion checklist.
That's cute. That's cute that you think they're going to apologize. But again, to my point, they are not the only women on the cast. You know, I think a lot of things I do for other castmates, you know, because we're friends. I want to be there to support Gertie. I want to do things for, you know, to support Kiki and Julia. So it's not that I'm a punk.
Yeah.
I respect what I do and I respect my other castmates enough to like prioritize them over the bros.
I think that's super valid though, because it would almost be like giving them too much power if it was like, well, you're never going to see Nicole again.
They would love that. Right. They would love if they ran me off the show and I just like went to a corner and cried because I was uninvited to stuff. That would be a victory for them.
Yeah. Well, we would not like that. So I'm
not going to let them win that. I'm not going to let them off the hook that easy.
I'm curious. Before we wrap up, I've been asking everyone. I think it's super interesting to hear the different responses. How do you feel like being on reality TV these last few years has changed you as a person, if at all?
So I definitely think I've like kind of come out of my shell in terms of like confidence and just like being comfortable in your skin. You know, I feel like Anthony's a big personality, right? And I kind of surround myself with like big personalities, and I was always kind of comfortable taking the back seat, you know, mm-hmm. like letting people do their thing. But then when you come on the show, the spotlight's on you, you have no choice kind of but to showcase yourself and your life, and you get much more comfortable speaking out. And so for me, I think it's been a very confidence building experience, right? Getting comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because I would normally, like, if I was uncomfortable, I probably would have, like, kind of, you know, wilted like a little violet. And now I feel like I'm okay being uncomfortable. I'm okay sharing, like, the ugly part of my life. Like, no one's perfect. And there's something very peaceful about that.
Yeah. And like taking up that space that you are sort of entitled to, even if it doesn't feel
good.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's being comfortable being uncomfortable has been kind of like the best part about it.
I love that.
Now I kind of feel like nothing really phases me.
Nothing really phases you. Just let it roll off your back.
Therapy helps too. I'm not going to lie. I saw that hat. I was like, oh, I need that in my life.
I am so glad that we got to catch up. I feel like there's obviously a lot happening in your life, a lot happening on the show. And, you know, it's always good to have a little chit chat.
Yeah. And there'll be a lot happening tomorrow at reunion. So don't miss that.
Yes. And we can't wait to see the rest of the season. Wednesday nights on Bravo. Congratulations on your new baby and everything that's happening in your life.
So excited.
So excited for you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. And until next time, be cool. Don't be all like uncool. Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Dylan Hafer and Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.